I want to invite you to turn in your Bibles to Genesis chapter 41. Genesis chapter 41. As we continued our Jesus in Genesis series, as we look through what God has done throughout the Old Testament from the beginning of creation, and the thing that keeps astounding us over and over again is that God is way more loving, way more gracious than we ever thought. As we look at how He worked in the lives of Abraham and Jacob and now Joseph, and last week we talked about signs that the Holy Spirit is working in someone's life, and we talked about how God is working, like when He took Joseph from the prison to the palace just in an instant. God is the first person that we think about when the Holy Spirit's working in our life. God is revealed to others through us. And God has the final say of everything. That's the belief that we hold to when the Holy Spirit is evident and real in our life. That God has the final say, that He's in control, and God's wisdom pours out of our words and actions. Today I want to talk about those aha moments concerning the greatness of God. And aha moment is defined in the Merriam-Webster Dictionary as a moment of sudden realization, inspiration, insight, recognition, or comprehension. It is a place where we reach and say, oh, now I get it. Now I understand. And Joseph was in that place in this section of Scripture. And it's my prayer today as we walk through this passage that God doesn't get bigger, right? He's as big as He can possibly be or will ever be, which is beyond our imagination. But our view of God is much larger. Our view of who He is bigger. Our comprehension of how He works in our lives, even in the times that are bad or the times where we've experienced trauma, we come to those moments where we say, ah, oh, it was so excruciating when it was happening, but now I know why. And Joseph was in that place as we asked those why questions. Why, God, did You allow this in my life? Why did this happen? Why did You allow me to be in this circumstance? And Joseph was the man that understands that more than any of us, because from a boy, remember at age 17, he was dragged from his house, disowned by his own brothers, thrown in a pit, sold into slavery, and was there in slavery for many years. And now we come to this text and he's 30 years old. And not once do you find him in Scripture complaining. He even went to prison for doing what was right, and yet he was learning the sovereign hand of God and how God is real and working in your life at every moment, no matter what circumstance we're going through. Joseph stood alone above every soul in the world at that time. In the massive understanding of God, no one on earth saw God as he did or believed in God as he did. And keep in mind, he's in the midst of a culture where he's probably pretty much the only believer in Yahweh, the worship of the one true God. He was in Egyptian culture now. And so let's pick up and read verse 42 to 45 of chapter 41 of Genesis. Beginning in verse 41, Pharaoh said to Joseph, "See, I have set you over all the land of Egypt." Then Pharaoh took his signet ring from his hand and put it on Joseph's hand and clothed him in garments of fine linen and put a gold chain about his neck. And he made him ride in the second chariot. And they called out before him, "Bow the knee." Thus he set him over all the land of Egypt. Moreover, Pharaoh said to Joseph, "I am Pharaoh, and without your consent, no one shall lift up hand or foot in all of the land of Egypt." That's a pretty powerful statement. No one can take a step unless your consent. That's authority. That's power. And Pharaoh called Joseph's name Zephaniah-Paniah, and he gave him in marriage to Asenath, the daughter of Potipharah, priest of On. So Joseph went out over the land of Egypt. Number one, we say aha when we begin to see why God was working and using the dark seasons of our life. And we've all had dark seasons of our life. We've all had moments where it's excruciating pain and sorrow. And it feels like we don't know how to get ourselves out of that situation. And Joseph was in prison. There was nowhere to go. But this was the aha moment for Joseph. Because remember at the beginning, God gave him a dream, and that dream is now coming to fruition. We say aha when we begin to see God working in the dark seasons of our life. And how was that for Joseph? Now think about that. This was the leader of the known world of that time in Egypt. All the earth, and you'll see language in the end of the chapter, all the earth came. So the known world of the time was ruled by Pharaoh, or at least the greatest nation on the earth. And here was this slave boy, now turned 30. And remember, he was a cocky teenager when he first told his brothers his dream, right? God said that you're going to bow down to me. And the way he did it was not in humility. That doesn't sound like somebody that's ready for authority and leadership over a whole country. He had to go through the dark night of the soul. He had to go through prison to get to this place. God works with us through the dark times to deal with our pride and our sinful habits so that we'll be humble enough to handle the success. When Pharaoh took that ring and gave it to him, he's saying, you have authority. Not a person can lift a foot or a hand unless you have consent. You are second in command. What you say goes. I don't know about you, but I don't know if very many of us could handle that kind of power and authority. I don't know about you. Perhaps there's still some immaturity and pride in my life that God needs to work out. And when we begin to see how God sovereignly works through those dark times, through those times that we don't want in our life, we see that God is shaping us, forming us for what He has for us in the future. He's maturing us. And if we were to come to this place, this aha moment, say, God, You're sovereign, even in the dark times, You must be doing something. You must be preparing. Joseph was a servant for the last 13 years of his life at this text. And now he's in second in command of the whole world. God works with us through the dark times to teach us not only that He's working, but that He is teaching us to trust and rely on Him. How was Joseph to survive being a leader of the country of the known world and still maintain his faith in God, while all the other leaders, all the power structures that were in place, were worshiping other gods and other idols? How would Joseph stand strong in that situation? By the way, that new name that Pharaoh gave to him, since he interpreted Pharaoh's dream, is that God, speaking to the one true God, speaks and lives. In other words, Joseph by this time has cultivated such an intimate relationship with God Almighty that it was known to those around him, and he went through this dark time so that God could teach him how to lean on Him no matter what. You know what? I don't know about you, but if I were given that great power, maybe that's why God does. I wish I could win the lottery. Well, what might happen to my life if I win the lottery? We don't know. I mean, maybe Green Acres would be a tractor lot. I mean, it's all kinds of tractors. Maybe I would fall in love with all that stuff and say, you know what, I'm done preaching for now. You can find somebody else. I think I'm pretty comfortable. But God gives us things when we're ready. So the dark times are necessary. And when we embrace those dark times and those difficulties in our life, we see that God is moving us towards Him. And God works through us in the dark times to prepare us for not only that, but relationships with others. Perhaps you've had bad relationships in your past or unhealthy ones in your family. But at this time here, Joseph was in prison for a long time, and he's given a prominent wife. God was restoring joy to his life. I want to read this quote. And it's amazing that given an Egyptian wife that he still maintained his faith in God. God had prepared him for that. We see in other the parts of Genesis where people took on wives from other lands that worshipped other gods. They didn't stand. They compromised and started worshipping those other gods. Joseph did. But he was also one that went through extreme dark times to be strong enough to do that. I want to read Kent Hughes. He says, "It is one thing to remain believing and God-centered and faithful in the pit. It is quite another to be faithful at the pinnacle. The pit instills dependence upon God. Days and months and years in the pit graced Joseph's soul with an ever-deepening sense of need and dependence on God." That aha moment is to say, "God, you're making me dependent on you by this being allowed in my life." He works with us through the dark time to prepare us with skills for the future. And let's read on in verse 46 now. Joseph was 30 years old when he entered the service of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. And Joseph went out from the presence of Pharaoh and went through all the land of Egypt during the 7 plentiful years. The earth produced abundantly, and he gathered up all the food of these 7 years, which occurred in the land of Egypt, and put the food in the cities. He put in every city the food from the fields around it. And Joseph stored up grain in great abundance like the sand of the sea until he ceased to measure it, for it could not be measured. Now, to understand the power of this aha moment, that we have an aha moment when God begins to fulfill our dreams and the promises that He's given to us. And that such promise was given to Joseph in a dream, and then revealed to Pharaoh in a dream that these 7 years of famine were to come, and then God was going to use Joseph, this was his main part, to deliver his people, the people through which the line of Jesus was to come, to save their lives through this famine. Now picture this, everything was going well in Egypt. The crops were abundant, they were good, and they say, What is this guy doing? He's now the leader of the known world, and he's gathering all this grain and putting it in barns in all the different cities. And that is a person who God has worked in their life. Since we say that aha moment is God is fulfilling my dreams. The dreams that He has given me. And let me back up. Not my dreams, the dreams God gives. Promises that He's given us. And He begins to fill the dreams. But I want you to notice that God had honed Joseph in and sharpened him to be a trustworthy and responsible person. Now, I don't know about you. I want you to think, just the first thing that comes to your head, if you were put in second command of the greatest nation on earth, what was the first thing that you would do? Does anybody have anything you want to share? The first thing you would do? First fun thing you would do? I have something to settle here, and I'm going to go deal with Potiphar's wife. Remember that. She accused him of doing something he didn't do and got thrown into prison. We all have things. Oh, maybe I would have a banquet and have the best foods. I've been in prison for a while, and I need to be pampered for a while. But do you notice that on this text that as soon as he had that moment, God, you're fulfilling the dream, it's starting to come. He had such a relationship with God that he obeyed God's word in a land that was prosperous. He went and started gathering grain right away. I don't know about you, when we're given responsibility. So the next time you go through a difficult time, thank God because He's maturing you for something greater in your life. To be a better parent. To be a better mom, a better dad. Better grandparent. To be one that can minister to friends who are going in a crisis because you can relate because you went through something similar. You're at the right place at the right time in someone's life. But had not God allowed you to go through that dark time? So Joseph was seeing it. And God uses seasoned people, those that have been in the dark pits of life. And we are in a Christianity, a time right now in America where the most preaching talks about prosperity, right? And success and doing good. And if don't confess those bad times. If something bad starts to happen, try to get away with it and ignore it. Sweep it under the rug. But if we realize what God is doing, we embrace the trials. We embrace God's work in his life. We embrace when God is moving my stubborn, prideful heart to lean more on him and not on myself. God uses a season. There's an example of the qualifications for elders that serve as leaders and shepherds in the church. In 1 Timothy 3, he said, he must not be a recent convert, or he may become puffed up with conceit and fall into the condemnation of the devil. And that's true. When God puts people, or when we're put in positions that we're not ready for because we've not gone through the dark times and the pits of life, usually it becomes a circus. And that's what we see a lot today, is that let's put the person that just graduated from college in charge of everything in the church. And then what happens? We lose the fear of the Lord. We lose our reverence for Christ. We lose all these things because they haven't gone through the pits yet and don't understand. So I want to encourage you, if you're young, if you're old, welcome the seasons of being matured in your life. God begins to fill his purposes when we're quick to respond. And notice how quick he was to respond to God's word. It's kind of like Noah too, right? God told him to build an ark and there was no rain. God told Joseph through the dream of Pharaoh that there's going to be famine and you need to prepare. And things were prosperous and blessed. He obeyed God's word, even though he might have experienced ridicule from others or it seemed crazy at the moment. But God had weaned him to become so dependent on him that he obeyed the word of God as it was. I don't know about you, but sometimes I read things in Scripture and I say, well, let's skip to another devotion because I don't want to deal with that right now in my life. Have you done that before? You've all done that in your devotion books, or you're reading through the Bible and the Scripture, and then you come to a place and say, let's read about the joy of the Lord right now. Or God's starting to tighten the bolts a little bit. And if we let that happen, if we embrace that, God's dreams start to become fulfilled in our life. And not only that, he developed a strong work ethic in Joseph. Here he was in prison, laboring as a servant for all those years. You would think that he would take a break and say, oh, I want everybody to do things for me now. He went right to work. He went right out into the land and started doing what God has called him to do. And so that's what happens when we mature, when we become seasoned in our walk with the Lord God. And I overheard a conversation about, I remember someone was having with someone that was in their 70s and 80s, and they were talking about, I can't get anybody to work for my company. It's hard to find people to that will really get the job done. And he said, there's nobody that could do it like an 80-year-old, a 70-year-old, because you were raised in a generation. They were raised in a generation that had a strong work ethic and not giving up and giving their all to serve the Lord in the church. You don't reach that point of having a work ethic when you avoid trouble in your life and everything's handed to us. God begins to fulfill his purpose in us and dreams he's given us when he's trained us with these management skills. Now that's crazy to be put over the whole land and then you're responsible to save the entire planet from famine. Think about that. One day you're in prison, the next day you're saying you need to save the whole earth from a famine that's coming in 7 years. Go to it. Ha ha. God is sovereign over my life. He's working. But then there's another area where God works, as we read on in verse 50 and 51. Because many of us have gone through traumatic events and we've experienced bad things in our life and hardship by redirecting. So when we say aha, when God heals us from our past trauma and hardship by redirecting us to his blessing now. Look what happened in verse 50 in Joseph's life. Before the years of famine came, two sons were born to Joseph. Asenath, the daughter of Potiphar, a priest of On, bore them to him. Joseph called the name of the firstborn Manasseh, for he said, God has made me forget all my hardship and all my father's house. The name of the second he called Ephraim, for God has made me fruitful in the land of my affliction. Here is someone who had an aha moment. Someone who has grown and had a different way of thinking now. God gave him the first son, which means, the name means he who causes to forget or neglect or desert. In other words, Joseph deserted the trauma of being beaten and enslaved and all those kinds of things for the blessing that God was working in his life now. And I want to encourage you all in this. It is so easy for us to, as humans, to get stuck when we've experienced a traumatic event in our lives. Whatever that might be. Or how big or major or how small it might be. Some of us are more sensitive than others and some of us take on things. But here is someone who has worked with God, who has been seasoned in the presence of the Lord, who says, look what God is doing. I have a son now. Versus Joseph could have said, yeah, but I went through all this slavery and affliction, and then his son starts to grow up, and the dad is stuck in discouragement and depression because he refuses to see what God is doing now. And I want to encourage you to pray, because this is not something that's just going to happen overnight in your life, especially if you have experienced some traumatic events. But stop looking at the past. And look what God is doing now. Look at what He's preparing you to do in the future. As horrific as the sin that was committed against you might have been, if we let go and no longer give it power, that's exactly what Joseph did. He neglected the memories of his past to look at what God was doing right here and right now in his present. You know, all of us in here probably could say that we've lost good relationships with others. We've been abandoned by others, or people have let us down in our life and people have hurt us badly. If we keep looking at those, we forget about the people God has put in our lives right now. If we keep obsessing with those that have hurt us, what about the people that are not hurting us? What about the people that God has blessed, and this family around you here, and friends, and all the Purdue entourage, and all you smiling faces over here? That's the key to healing. And that's a seasoned person who no longer looks at life as, well, my life is over because this thing has happened in me. I keep having these memories come back. I keep having dreams and I keep having these things. Desert them. That's what Joseph did. He deserted the memories of the past to look at what God was doing in his life right now. Redirect our focus from the trauma to the present blessings. And if you have to keep doing it every day, keep doing it every day. Redirect. Every time those memories come up, redirect. What is God doing in my life now? Every time you're reminded of that person that hurt you in the past, what friendships is God bringing in my life right now? What kind of family has God given me? What are the people that have supported me in my workplace or around me in my community? Because surely there's someone. God heals us through giving Joseph a family too. And remember, he was a slave for a while, and then all of a sudden he has a whole family. And so we need to enjoy those relationships God has given us. Number 4, in verse 52, it says, the name of the second son was called Ephraim, for God has made me fruitful in the land. He gives him a second son. And that's another aha moment where he says, I'm going to embrace affliction, because it's in affliction that God still makes me fruitful. God still makes us fruitful in affliction. I mean, as we look at that, he names his second son doubly fruitful. Not doubly fruity. Doubly fruitful. I had a first son. I had a second son. I am so blessed now. I was sitting in prison, twiddling my thumbs and serving the other prisoners even. I was the lowest of the low. But look at the affliction. But look what God has done, how He's birthed maturity, how He's birthed a different view, and my view of God just keeps getting bigger and bigger and bigger. God makes us successful in the situations that seem most unsuccessful. Look what God's doing in the midst of your affliction. And that's hard to see sometimes, and it took Joseph a while. I mean, remember, he went from age 17 into trauma until age 30. It's a lot of years of baggage and trauma. There's a lot of hurt, a lot of pain. But look what God was doing in his life. Joseph recognized the greatness of God here, and if you don't read close, you miss it. Remember, Pharaoh gave him an Egyptian name, and he was in Egyptian culture. He had Egyptian clothes. He had his beard trimmed, his Hebrew beard trimmed off, and he was shaved, and he was brought before Pharaoh. But he gave his sons Hebrew names. Still hanging on to the greatness of God. It's amazing. And last of all today, we say aha when God uses the least likely by the world's standards to pour out His blessings on the world. And I want you to know this morning that God wants to use you. Yes, you. To pour out His blessings on the whole earth. But in the getting there, there's affliction and sorrow. In the getting there, there is a development of our understanding of God that has to happen. A maturing, a ripening of our faith. We say aha when God uses the least likely. Look in verse 53. The 7 years of plenty that occurred in the land of Egypt came to an end, and then 7 years of famine began to come. And you can imagine Joseph's faith was soaring now. All of that gathering up, he knew, I knew I did the right thing. I obeyed God's word, even though it didn't seem like famine was coming. And Joseph had said, there was famine in all lands, but in all the land of Egypt there was bread. And I want you to know, where God is obeyed, there is always bread. Think about that for a moment. Where God is obeyed, there is always bread. Talking about the relationship with the human, with God, it doesn't mean we get whatever we want, whenever we want, or the best, finest foods it might be, but God always provides bread when we obey and follow Him. And when all the land of Egypt was famished, the people cried. In other words, they called out for help. Like, help, we're starving. Pharaoh said to all the Egyptians, go to Joseph. What he says to do, do. And so when famine had spread over all the land, Joseph opened all the storehouses and sold to the Egyptians, for the famine was severe in the land of Egypt. Moreover, all the earth came to Egypt to Joseph to buy grain, because the famine was severe over all the earth. God makes us successful. And where God is obeyed, there is prosperity even in the midst of famine. And remember back in chapter 12 when God made the covenant with Abraham, through you all the nations of the earth were blessed. And certainly through the line that Jesus was to come, even at this moment, the whole earth was blessed through this famine. Where God is obeyed, there is deliverance. So I want to ask you today as we close and look at this passage of Scripture, and I want to encourage you to go home today and say, God, I invite you to open up and expand my mind of your sovereignty over my life. You are sovereign over the good times. You're sovereign over the bad times. You're sovereign over the joy. You're sovereign over the pain. You're sovereign over the trauma that I've experienced. You're sovereign over the celebrations. You are a God who cares about me so intimately. Let God expand your thoughts and minds, this greatness. And I want to leave you with these questions today, is how will you handle success? Will you see the greatness of God and say, aha? Or will you fall headfirst into stubborn pride? Will you dwell on past trauma? Or look at how God is blessing you right now here today? We just experienced a blessing today, seeing little Emma dedicated to the Lord. Time to forget the past. Move on and trust in the Lord, because He's blessing you right now. And if you're in the middle of a trial right now, God is blessing you right now, because He's maturing you and ripening you and giving you the skills you need. So how did Joseph maintain his walk with God during the success? He had a belief that God is always at work, even in the waiting and the dark times and the pits. He had that belief. He believed that with all of his heart. He grew to believe it. Secondly, God is in control of life. He came right up to Pharaoh and said, God gave you that dream. I can't give you. God, the one true God, is the one that's speaking in your life today. He has recognized God is in control. Pharaoh, you're not. Pharaoh could have set off with his head. And he also had a belief that God will carry out His Word. Do you believe that everything that's written in this Word is to come to pass? Do you believe that the promises that God has given in your life? I'm not talking about, oh yeah, I confess the Bible, that's our doctrinal statement and things like that. But you really live and breathe the Apostles' Creed, the basics of our faith. God is beyond our comprehension. Joseph developed a theology that was based not on human decision, not on human's doing, but on the power of God and His sovereignty in working over our lives. And he also believed God must be obeyed delightfully, not because we have to, because He wanted to, even if no one else around is serving the one true God. Even if other Christians are not living and walking out what's in this book, will you stand and trust the sovereign working of God over your life? I want to ask the worship team to come this morning as we sing this last song of dedication to the Lord and worship of Him as the one true God. I want to invite you, if you'd like to come down to the altar today, or you want to make the place where you're seating, where you're sitting, an altar to the Lord and say, God, it's time for me to leave this trauma behind. It's time for me to move on. I embrace Your sovereign work in my life. And I'm going to trust You. I'm going to call you to make a commitment to the Lord today. Because Jesus Christ, where 2,000 years ago, came to this earth and died in our place for our sins so that we can obey God. God saved the whole known world through Joseph. God saves us today through Joseph's lineage, Jesus Christ, through His death, burial, and resurrection. So let's stand together as we pray before the Lord. God, I pray that You would remove anything that I said that is of my opinions and thoughts, and only allow the things that You've written in Your Word and how You've worked in Joseph's life, the truths of Your sovereignty, to come forward in our hearts and minds today. Lord, we say, here we are. We need Your help. God, I pray that all over in this room that You would heal trauma, that You'd heal pain, and that You would help us to see You are working in our waiting, and that You are in sovereign control over every circumstance, and You are working to prepare us to be a shining light to the world, the message of Jesus Christ. God, I pray You bless every person that's here today. We give You all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen.